Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith.
Session 9, Anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Abiding Principles for this Session. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Romans 6:13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Introduction to Session 9, Anointed by the Holy Spirit. This session will help us learn how to live a Spirit-filled life of dedication and usefulness to Christ Jesus, our Lord. We hope you will find the object lesson presented during the e-session and described in the e-book and the book in print to be of interest to you and that it will help you to clarify this session. We are reading today from the Bible text, Acts 2:1-6, 14-18. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Now, to discuss the Bible text. Session 8 focused on the Holy Spirit's worldwide work of reconciliation in the hearts of humankind, both the lost who are separated from God by their sin, and also the saved who have wandered away from God. This session will focus on the Holy Spirit's work through the saved who desire to accomplish God's plan and purposes for their life. To understand this work, one must first understand the function of the Holy Spirit's work in his or her conversion. The Bible teaches that, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit does the following. the Holy Spirit acts as the agent of regeneration or new birth. Titus 3, 5-6. God saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. John 3, 5-6. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." Regeneration is sometimes referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Regeneration includes redemption. Redemption is made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:12. With His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Redemption becomes personal in one's experience by the application of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:2. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Regeneration includes positional sanctification. When you were born again, you were sanctified, set apart from sin to God, or relieved of the debt of sin that caused condemnation before God. That is your new position. As you continue in the Christian life, however, you will continually need to be sanctified or set apart from the many sins and temptations of the world that would cause you to be ineffective as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Regeneration includes justification. Romans 3:24. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. Often you will hear the term justification defined simply that Christ forgives and brings us back to God, just as if we had never sinned. While this is a good working definition, I think the term goes a little farther. Perhaps it will help if you think of it this way. Let's suppose that I got into major debt and fell way behind in my payments, so much in debt and so far behind that my creditors threatened repossession, foreclosure, etc. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone stepped in and completely paid off my debt in my place? You could think of that as forgiveness. In this scenario, I would be out of debt and would be able to keep the items that had been put up for collateral. However, my credit would still be ruined. What if someone not only paid off my debts, but also somehow transferred their perfect credit record to my account? Not only would my debt be paid in full, but also my creditworthiness would be restored. That is what justification means. Forgiven, yes, but also Christ's good standing with God placed upon our account. The Holy Spirit sets up residence in the heart of each believer. Romans 8:9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. The presence of the Holy Spirit brings assurance of our salvation. Romans 8:16. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit accompanies salvation, but does not guarantee that a believer will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Being filled with the Holy Spirit or anointed by the Holy Spirit for Christian service involves an understanding of truths from God's Word and a willingness on our part as believers to apply these truths to our lives on a daily basis. Roman numeral 1. Defining the term. Capital A. Being filled with the Spirit or anointed for Christian service means that a believer is fully controlled and energized by the Holy Spirit so that his or her life fully functions to bring honor and glory to Christ. A Spirit-filled person manifests the evidences of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The filling of the Spirit affects the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Capital B. Being filled with the Spirit or anointed for Christian service is not a state of emotionalism. The Holy Spirit is working in the realm of truth, not in the realm of emotions. Sometimes truth moves us in an emotional way, but being filled with the Spirit is not mere emotionalism. John 16:13a. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit works in a disciplined fashion to further the work of Christ. Read Acts 2:14-40. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Capital C. Being filled with the Spirit or anointed for Christian service should not be equated with speaking in tongues, prophesying, or working of miracles. The gift of tongues in Acts 2 was the gift of languages used of God to birth the early church. Read carefully Acts 2:4-11, and you will see that the apostles were speaking in known languages, not unknown tongues. Some believers bear testimony of a heavenly language or tongue they use before God in worship or prayer. Though that has not been my experience of the Holy Spirit, I certainly would not take away from their experience, nor try to explain away the manifestation of the Spirit in their lives. It seems that some believers are given a heavenly language known only to God. The Apostle Paul spoke of having such a gift. The Apostle Paul did not forbid speaking in tongues or this heavenly language in worship. Even so, he insisted that there be an orderly expression of this gift. We find his clear instructions in 1 Corinthians 14. If someone feels led to exercise the gift of tongues in worship, there must be someone present with the gift of interpretation. The message given must be edifying to all who are present, not just the one gifted with the heavenly language. The gift must be exercised in an orderly way. I would caution you that being filled with the Spirit should not be equated with these types of experiences. One can be filled with the Spirit and not experience such utterances or extraordinary expressions in physical ways. The gifts of prophecies in Acts was necessary in the early church because the New Testament had not yet been completed. Other sign gifts, for example, miracles, healings, and words of knowledge or wisdom, were manifestations of the Spirit to establish credibility for the early church. These measures were no longer necessary once the church was established and the New Testament completed. 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. God is still pouring out the Spirit upon us, and these gifts of miracles and tongues are still being experienced at times. Even so, it is most likely that the fullness of the Spirit in your life will be experienced in a less dramatic, yet still effective way to enable you to promote the cause of Jesus Christ and carry on His work. Roman numeral 2. Who is eligible to be filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed for Christian service? Capital A. All believers have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit after their public declaration of Christ in baptism. Read Acts 19, 1-5. Capital B. Every believer has been saved and baptized to serve Christ. Capital C. In order to serve Christ effectively, it is necessary to be filled with the Spirit. Roman numeral 3. To obtain this anointing or filling of the Spirit, we need to make, or renew, a fourfold decision. Capital A. First, we must decide to deeply commit to Christ's service, prioritizing God's will above our own plans and commitments. This infilling of power is for the purpose of fully functioning in order to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will not empower a person for personal gain. Acts 8:18-21. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God." This type of commitment is what Jesus was getting at when he said, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." Matthew 6:33. Capital B. Second, we must come to a place of true contrition about our sins. Isaiah 57:15. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One, says this, "I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts." Contrition expresses itself in genuine repentance. Private sin between a person and the Lord should be confessed and repented of privately. Public sin, which is known by others, should be confessed and repented of both privately and publicly. When necessary, repentance leads a person to make things right, providing it is within his or her power to do so. Capital C. Third, we must be willing to yield completely to the Holy Spirit. This involves submitting completely to God. This involves a decision to seek God's glory above a person's own self-promotion or personal comfort. This involves a person relying totally on the power of the Spirit to energize his or her service for Jesus. May I share a personal story from my experience of God? Though raised in a missionary's home, I wasn't especially interested in following in my father's footsteps. My parents were missionaries to Mexico and other Spanish-speaking countries. I grew up with Hispanic people and grew to love the people and culture dearly. But like most Americans, I had grown accustomed to our conveniences and didn't relish the thought of giving them up to be a missionary. I really began feeling a calling to ministry when I was about 11 years of age. Coinciding with that moving of the Spirit in my life, there was a trip in which I accompanied my father to the Dominican Republic for a conference. We stayed for about 2 weeks in the home of the national people, dear, dear Christian people. The home was above average for the area, and the people were extremely hospitable to us. I was very grateful for their kindness and felt no prejudice against them at all. That was not my issue. Rather, my issue was the lack of conveniences that I had come to enjoy, even in an American home that would have been considered poverty level by U.S. standards. In Dominican, the homes were quite different. There was no AC and no flooring to speak of. Mosquitoes abounded, and we had to sleep in a zip-up netting. We couldn't drink the water, and the only shower was cold water out of a half-inch pipe with no shower head. Not to mention, the food was very different from what we get at the local taco place in the U.S. Our hosts so kindly brought us a Coca-Cola and some type of dessert every night. Other homes that we visited were experiencing even more acute poverty. At least we had a shower, a net, and even a fan to stir the air. I just couldn't see myself living in another country, and I was truly afraid that is what God would ask of me if I totally surrendered to God. I prayed, "I love you, God, and I will do anything you want me to do, as long as I can live in the United States of America." For quite a while, I held out, but I remember clearly the place and time when I truly turned my life over to God and said, "Okay, God, I am done holding out. I will go, even to Dominican Republic, to Africa, to Asia, or wherever you think is best. I will give up the modern conveniences and live within the means of the culture you call me to. I am willing to make a full surrender to your will and trust in your divine providence to lead me and provide the grace I will need to follow your will." Friend, I really meant it. And I still make this commitment to follow wherever and however God leads. At present, God hasn't called me to leave the United States, but God does lead me daily, and on my best days, I follow. Let's review. To be filled with the Spirit, first, we must decide to deeply commit to Christ's service, prioritizing God's will above our own plans and commitments. Second, we must come to a place of true contrition about our sins. Third, we must be willing to yield completely to the Holy Spirit. And fourth, we must make a conscious decision to rest by faith in God to send forth the Holy Spirit to empower our lives for Christ's service. Roman numeral 4. Being filled with the Spirit, or anointed for Christian service, is a daily process that must be renewed continually. Capital A. The presence of the Holy Spirit within a believer's life is guaranteed by God's grace. John 14:16. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, who will never leave you." Capital B. The fullness of the Spirit, or this special anointing, is lost when we grieve the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Capital C. When this happens, we must ask forgiveness and repeat the fourfold decision or process for a fresh anointing and filling of the Spirit. Capital D. Thankfully, God is patient with us and willing to forgive us and grant us continual anointing if we continue to seek God's guidance and anointing in our lives. In conclusion, there are three possible conditions of a person's heart. A person who is lost and in the natural state of sin that separates him or her from God. In love, this person is being influenced by the Holy Spirit to turn to God, but the presence of the Holy Spirit has not come to indwell his or her life. A person who has been washed by the blood, born again, and redeemed from his or her debt of sin. The Holy Spirit has moved in to indwell that person, but there is still much of self that needs to be replaced by God. A person who has been saved and completely filled or anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. The third possibility is what God desires of each of us. Instead of serving God in our own power and strength, we are to be vessels of God's anointing so that our service is energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The world needs to be impacted by God, and we need to be so full of the Holy Spirit that the world is experiencing God working through us. I would challenge you to spend a little time with these three possible conditions of the heart and ask of God exactly where you are at this moment. Once you have honestly identified where you are with God, the good news is that you can improve your position, thanks to God's grace extended through Jesus Christ. The lost person can be saved, the saved person can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and those persons who have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God can seek continual infilling for even more effective service to Jesus Christ. Whatever you yield, God accepts. Whatever God accepts, God cleanses. Whatever God cleanses, God fills. Whatever God fills, God uses. Adrian Rogers said something similar in sermons, and his thoughts may have been an adaptation of similar ideas from R.A. Torrey, who wrote, "Whatever we yield to God, God accepts." Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. In your own words, please explain what it means to be anointed or filled with the Holy Spirit. Please explain the difference between positional sanctification and justification. In this session, we have discussed speaking in tongues. After studying this session, please discuss what you believe about speaking in tongues. Discuss what it means to be deeply committed to Christ's service. Do you feel that you are willing to make this commitment of your life to God? Explain. If the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts when we are born again, why do we need a daily renewal of this filling or anointing of the Holy Spirit? Explain. Please answer these discussion questions in complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you will get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you are not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at OnlyJesusForMe.com. Again, that is Only Jesus, then the number 4, OnlyJesusForMe.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.